certainly appreciate the introduction. Again, that it also says something about my age. And I welcome the opportunity to be able to relate to so many Choshev people at one time. I think that the topic that I was given maybe is the most important topic that anyone could speak about that has to do with Yiddishkeit. The topic is Simchas Achayim. It's very interesting. The phrase itself does not exist anywhere in Chazal. It doesn't say anywhere Simchas Achayim. Simcha? Simcha is mentioned thousands of times. Simchas Achayim, never once. So I'm not going to dwell so much on the phrase. But the phrase does intend to convey a holistic feeling, a sense of the satisfaction and the joy of life. But it's not exactly joie de vivre or anything like that either. It's something very profound. And in Yiddishkeit, sooner or later, we're going to have to ask the question, where do Chazal, where does the Rambam, where does the Shulchan Aruch, where do the Sifrei Musar place the emphasis? What brings a person to Simcha? Now, why was I asked about this, to speak about this topic? Besides the fact that it is so essential and so central, probably because Mishenichnas Ador Marvin B'Simcha. Now, does that apply to Ador Rishon? Imagine that some of your Rebbeim have spoken to you about it, or some of the Rabbonim in the shuls. It's very interesting. It's almost Purim Katan. We're talking about a couple of days from now. So we have 2 days that we are also behesped of the Tainus, even though it's in the first Adar, the 14th and the 15th. And the question is, should we celebrate even more? Should there be a Simcha of Seuda? And that, in fact, is the very last halacha in Or HaChaim. And the Ramah weighs in with a very famous reference to a pasuk in Mishlei. The Mechaber says, Yom Yudalit v'tezbov sheba ador rishon ein noiflim al pneihem ve'ein oimlim mizmo yancho Hashem ve'osu behesped u'betaynis avu b'shachshah hadvorim ein noi hagim bohem ve'yesh oimlim da'af behesped v'taynis mutar. Ramos says, Minikus Varishona, these days are forbidden, behesped ubetainus. Okay. But then the Ramah continues, a very famous Ramah. Yesh omim shechayov lahalvois b'mishne v'simcha b'yudalid sheba'ado risha. Ve'ein noyagin ken. There is an opinion that one should increase the simcha even in Ador Rishon of Purim Katan. But the minig is not that way. Meaning, the minig is not that way to make a big celebration. To eat, to drink, to be merry. But in the parentheses, he writes, Umikol makom, yarbe kitsas bisuda kedei lotzeis yedei hamachmirim. I always found that fascinating. That you are eating because you want to be machmir. That's how a Jew is machmir. He eats. It's gewaltig. But then the Ramah continues, and this is the famous quotation, and I'll tell you why it's famous in a moment. V'tov leiv mishte tomit. This, of course, is a posuk in Mishlei. Perek tesvav, posuk tesvav. The posuk begins, kol yemei ani ro'im. A poor person has a miserable life. He suffers. His days are troubled. V'toiv leiv, the person who has a good heart, mishteh tamid, is always celebrating. Why is this Rama famous? Because he finishes Orach Chaim in the same way that he began. Because the very first words of the Rama in Orach Chaim Siman Aleph are, anyone know? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sot. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sot. And in fact, the Birkei Yosef Lechidah, he has a very, very famous expression, or he borrows a famous expression, that the Rama is Tmidim Kisidra. He has the Tamid at the beginning of Orach Chaim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, and the Tamid at the end of Orach Chaim, the Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. I have a question, and this goes to the core of everything in Yiddishkeit. Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid, we can understand. Everyone can understand that. If you have a good attitude, if you have a positive attitude, if you feel good about yourself, about the people around you, if you are a giving person, a caring person, you busy yourself with the worries and concerns of others and you're not so obsessed and preoccupied with your own concerns and your own worries, then you have a positive attitude towards life. You could be besimcha. Tov leid mishne tomid. But shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid, should that not create a person who's perpetually anxious, perpetually frenzied? Am I doing the right thing? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy with me? What about my averus? What about when I fail? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right there. So if you look at the Mefoshim on the Pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid, could be a very positive statement. I have many enemies, says David HaMelech. And I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, but where is he? In another Perek in Tehillim, it says, Keili, Keili, Lama Azaptoni, Rochek Mishuasi. He's far away. But Shivisi Hashem, Lenegdi Somid, I consider that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right there. He's right next to me. Kimimini. He's like my right hand, says the Meir Nevuchim. It's always there. Even when I'm not conscious of it, it's always there. Kimimini Bal Emet. So I will not falter. Then it can be considered a very positive pasuk. But is that the way the Rama looks at this pasuk when he quotes it? I don't have to ask that question, because the Rama answers it for me. You read the Rama, and as they say in Yiddish, as chabtat sitta, you can really start to shiver and worry. What does the Rama say? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tomid hu klal godol batoira ubemalis hatzadikim ashehochim lifnei elikim. And he goes on to explain, because when a person is alone b'chadrei chadorim, he can allow himself certain privileges. He can be a little lax. He can be a little bit easy with his requirements, with his responsibilities. In this case, with the mitzvahs of the Torah and all the many derabbanons. Who's going to see? Who's going to watch? So a person has to know that he's standing lifnei melech malchei amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? Everything, big brother, is watching you. I can't make a move. I can't make a tenua. You know, everything is covered by the Torah. From the time that you wake up in the morning and even when you're asleep. Person halacha is supposed to sleep on your side. What kind of halacha is that? It tells you exactly what you're doing. You're not even conscious. This is the way to paranoia. This is the way to anxiety. This is something that is fraught with nerves. I have to be in the presence of Hashem Yom Polayla. Look at the Lashon. I am continuing the words of the Rama. It's right there in front of you every time you open up the first chelik of the Mishnah Berurah. This isn't something esoteric or from some far-flung cipher that we can't find. It's in front of every person who looks at the first Mishnah Berurah.
Ish
person ever hide, and I will not see him? Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's a scary pasuk. It's a scary Ramah. And I would ask respectfully of the Ramah, how do you reconcile your Tmidim Kesidram? How do you have a Toiv Leiv Mishneh Tamid with the Shivisi Hashem Lenegi Summit? What am I getting wrong? I think to give the answer to this question, and it's not an easy question to answer. I think a lot of people who have an obsession with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which either borders or is an OCD problem, a real psychological problem, have this Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit so warped that all they can do is wash their hands 500 times. But that's because, or say Shema and repeat and repeat and repeat because maybe they didn't get the word correct. They tell a joke about a brisker who was very makbid. And he said, Asati Esev, 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 grass. He finally got it right. Abba Lamaisa, the question is, what's the path to simcha that comes from Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit? And of course, I am committed to the idea, to the foregone conclusion that it is dafka a path to simcha, maybe the only path to simcha, but it needs to be explained. I have to tell you that partly because of the Rav, Zichrono Livracha L'Chayim Abba, and maybe my own personal inclinations, the way my mind works, I have developed a friendship with the Rambam Kemat in my entire life. I came to the Rav very early. By that time I knew a great deal of the Rambam already. There's a certain sympathetic vibration here. That those strings play very, very much to my neshama. But once I came to the Rav, it was a foregone conclusion. Also, that you have to be medayik in every single word, in every oath of the Rambam. And so you get to know certain Rambams intimately to the point where you can recite them in your sleep. And there are a number of Rambams about Simcha, some of which are very perplexing actually, and some of which are so self-evident. The Rambam speaks about Simchas Yom Tov. And the Rambam says something very, very fundamental about Simchas Yom Tov that everyone understands. That you're not supposed to get drunk. You're not supposed to fall into licentious behavior, chas v'shalom, because you've gotten drunk. That's not simcha, that's holilus. That's wild, bacchanalian orgy. That is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained. That's obvious. Nowhere does it say that a person is allowed to lose himself and to abandon the Torah and to fail HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's b'samachta b'chagecha. On the contrary, the main b'samachta b'chagecha of Yom Tovim are the Sholosh Regolim, is Aliyah L'Regel, is near the Beis HaMikdash with the influence and Ashpah of Yerushalayim. How could a person possibly imagine that that kind of simcha should be orgiastic, that kind of simcha should be full of the flesh and the drinking and the sleeping it off and the tremendous headache of the hangover the next morning? It's not shayach. But there's another Rambam that is not so simple. And the Rambam says that the person who locks his doors and entertains his own family and has his Simchas Yom Tov without any care or concern for those who do not have, that is not a simcha of Yom Tov. That is a simcha of the stomach. And it's a disgusting and contemptible table. And the expression that is used, as if the table is full of feces, you should forgive me. It's an unbelievable expression of contempt for that kind of table. Avomisha Noel Dalsos Chatsero V'Ochel V'Shosahu Uvono V'Ishto V'Eino Ma'achil U'Mashke Anim U'Lumore Nefesh. Ein zu simchas mitzvah ella simchas kreisle. It is the simcha of the stomach. It is a rejoicing that has been disemboweled, if you forgive the play of words, of any neshama. It has no place in a truly Jewish home. A Jewish home, simcha is shared. What is the chiddush here? Of course there's a chiyuv to share. Of course there's a mitzvah to provide for the aniyim. The chiddush is that it redefines simcha in a negative way if you fail. That's a tremendous chiddush. I would have said these are two separate things. Mitzvah tzedakah, zero. Simchas Yom Tov, 100%. Why are we grading a Simchas Yom Tov based on the fact that the doors are locked? You know what the answer is? Not because the Rambam here is telling us a very sophisticated and lofty philosophy, but because he's revealing the truth about a human being. The Amison is, it is Simchas Kreisel. There's a tremendous reduction. There are a lot of people to go away for Pesach. I don't want to get too personal here. A lot of people go away for Pesach. Some people have to go away for Pesach. They have no choice. They don't have the koyach. They don't have the help. They're not healthy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where there was every opportunity to stay home. I want a vacation. I want to get away. I have the money. I want to spend the money. How many of those people provide for other people to have their Simchas Pesach? In Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak, somewhere in the West Bank. It doesn't make a difference. How many even think along those lines? How many think of taking Aniyim along with them? I've never heard that happen. Take three or four Aniyim along with you. You'll also have a Pesach. You'll be at my table. Everybody has his little table, his own table in the hotel. You'll be at my table. It's not a Pesach. It doesn't have anything to do with Pesach. There's no Yetzias Mitzrayim there. There's an entry into Mitzrayim. But when you abandon the Ani, the Rambam is teaching us a tremendous thing. When he says it's Simchas Kreisel, he doesn't mean it's a bad Simcha. He means it's a reduced Simcha. It's a Simcha that does not have the opportunity to soar like the eagle. It's a Simcha that is so completely disemboweled of its essential quality, and you don't even know that. I don't mean you, the person who's doing this. You don't even know that, because you drink and you're happy and you have your family around you. What more do I need? And yet, the essential simcha is completely missing. You know why? Because simcha is providing for the ani. Simcha is providing for the miserable. Simcha is taking the other person into account. Simcha is caring for others. That is a cardinal yisod in Yiddishkeit. You will never be happy if you're obsessed with yourself. You will never be happy if you want and want and need and need. You will only be happy if you give and give and give and give. But maybe this is just my interpretation. How do I know that the Rambam really feels that way? That when he says Ein Zeh Ela Simchas Kreisel, he means it's not the Ribbono Shel Simcha, of course not, but it's not real Simcha at all. How do I know that? Because there's another Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Megillah, most astonishing Rambam maybe in all of the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam tells us a halacha. If a person has a choice, he's able to increase his Seudas Purim, spend more money and have a more elaborate Seudah. Is it a good idea? Yes. Kol Amar Bareza Meshuvach. A person has an opportunity to give more Mishloach Monos. Is it a good idea? The answer is yes. Kol Amar Bareza Meshuvach. Now the person has a choice. There are three mitzvahs. Seudah, Mishloach Manos, and of course, Matanos Levyonim. So the Rambam says, if you have some more money, if you have that choice, you should rather give it to the Aniyim. somebody would have asked me to paskin such a shaila, I would say, to borrow a sports expression, it's a slam dunk. No question. Very pashut. Why? Because if I am marba b'sudas purim, I get a kolam marba it's a meshubach in purim. That's it. If I am marba mishloach manos, I get a marba it's a meshubach in mishloach manos. Vayter in purim. But if I give my panos l'avyoinim extra, extra, not only am I mekayim in purim, but I'm mekayim mitzvah tzedakah. So of course, it makes perfect sense. And that would be wonderful if that was the explanation that the Rambam gave. Let me read to you the Lashon HaRambam. I think it's the most astonishing Rambam in all of the Yad HaZot. And there are many. The Rambam says as follows. Mutav la'odom laharbois b'matnais evyoinim mi laharbois b'sudoso u'bishloach manos l'reyov. She'ein shom simcha gedola u'mefu'ora elo l'sameach leiv aniyim v'yisoymim v'almonois v'geim. The Rambam says, as a matter of principle, of yesod ha-yesodos, that there does not exist. Ein shom means doesn't mean isn't there. Like the Kesef Mishnah says at the very beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, shom is an Arabism. It means it does not exist. Ein shom. There is no period, nothing at all. There's no greater. There is no greater what? No greater mitzvah? No. There's no greater simcha. Ein sham simcha gedola u'mefo'ara. Elo v'sameach leiv aniyim v'yisonim v'almanos v'geirim. Whose simcha is he talking about? The aniyim simcha? Of course they'll be sameach. No, he means your simcha. Purim is a day of simcha. You may wish to the simcha. You have a choice. You have the simcha of the suuda. You have the simcha of mishloach manos. You have the simcha of matonis levyonim. Your simcha of matonis levyonim. That's a chiddush gadol. I would have thought it's their simcha and I have to include them. That's the whole point. No. Ein sham simcha gadola. How do I know? Maybe the Rambam doesn't mean what I said. Maybe he means the simcha of the aniyim, the whole idea of bringing this Rambam, that the Rambam is now describing simcha as helping others, is really batal mevutal. I have the wrong pshat, because the Rambam didn't finish. He has one more line. Shehamisameach leiv ha'umlolim ha'elu domeh l'shchina. Shenema l'ach yuzuach shvalim l'ach yuzleiv ha'koyim. The Rambam says something that we don't understand. Because if a person is misameyach, he's like the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is busy encouraging the aniyim and the miserable and giving them succor and support. That's very, very nice. But what does it have to do with me? So I'm supposed to be Doma L'Shechino. Okay, I'm supposed to be Doma L'Shechino, but how does it explain why this is the greatest simcha for me? You know what the answer is? It's very simple and it's the most profound idea in Yiddishkeit. The consistency of living up to the Ribbono Shel Olam's expectations to be like him is the secret of all simcha in Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit says, you can listen to a rock band and you can enjoy it. You can have a vacation in the Caribbean and you can enjoy it. You can buy yourself the most fancy car and show it off to everybody around you. Everybody else has. I had a Talmud once whose father was one of the most wealthy Sfardim in Flatbush. You're talking about many hundreds of millions. And he was the bane. He was hated by all of his friends. You know why? Because he drove around in a beaten jalopy. An old checkered cab that was really tzishmetet, and that's what he drove. And he took the tam out of every one of his friends. Because what's the point if the guy drives himself a Porsche or a Maserati or a Lamborghini or any of these or a Ferrari? Because 2 million, 3 million, 5 million, what's the difference? This guy who's richer than all of them is driving in a checkered cab. And they hated him from it, so to speak. You can have all kinds of attempts of simcha from kina, from taiva, and from kavod. And Chazal tell us, Motzim Nesodim in Olam. Jealousy, it makes a person miserable. He's not living his own life. He only wants what the other person has. He's letting the other person determine who he is. How can you be Sameach ever with that kind of feeling? Taiva can never satisfy Taiva. The minute it's satisfied, a day later, an hour later, a month later, it rears its head again. And you're always chasing the wind. The Ma'aseh Rebbe Elazar ben Dudayin Avodah Zarah, the Maseches Avodah Zarah, they tell a person who is with every zona in the world. And one day he wakes up and discovers that he had totally wasted his life, the profligate life of a person who has no mishpacha, has no wife, no children, no mitzvahs, no ma'asim tovim, no chesed, nothing. Taiva. He lived a whole life, but wasn't he the simcha all the time? Didn't he enjoy? Didn't he have nachas? There is no nachas in taiva. In the end, it dissipates and you're left with nothing. Kavod. I remember once there was an Adam Choshev, actually gives a tremendous amount of tzedakah, and I don't mean to say something negative, but just the point itself, he got up and he got a plaque right in this room, right where I stand, a huge plaque. And the first thing he says is, I don't understand why there isn't a Birchas Hanenin on Kavod in So Gishmak. And I was thinking to myself, this man is taka a great man, and in fact he gives a tremendous amount of tzedakah. But why is he getting the plaque? And why is he in front of so many people? Because he's such a chashuv person. Because he gave all other institutions, or he supports so many aniyim, or whatever. Or is it because there was an orchestration to give him a plaque, and he gave money to this institution, and the mele they're giving a plaque, and telling you how great he is? I remember I had a Talmud in my shul. He wasn't a Talmud in learning. He davened in my shul, and it became sort of something of a Talmud. And he was a doctor. And he was terrified of getting married. So I said, what's the matter? That's not true today with all of the healthcare crowds and the doctors are not making as much money as they used to. But there was a time the doctor, being a doctor was super prestigious and they were making tons of money. In those days he was afraid to get married because he never could be convinced and to be sure that the reason that she's marrying him is not because he's a doctor. People employ him. But don't you want that covet? Don't you enjoy that covet? A person who is looking for that covet also has to ask himself, is he really ever real? Is there ever the person inside of him recognized? Does anyone care about him for what he is in his essence? Because covet is so much of a facade. It's so much of an imitation. It's so much make-believe. It's so much fantasy. So the question is, so if that's the case, where do I find my simcha? The answer is, you look to the Ribbono Shel Olam and do what he does. And when you do what he does, not only is your neshama suddenly released to exercise itself in its most profound manner, but you yourself as Basar Vadam, as a human being, are given the opportunity to be the simcha atzuma. That's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam says. A lot of times, you know, we have children, Baruch Hashem, we have parents and children. There are a lot of parents that either they didn't make it so much in their lives as they had Havaminas. People have Havaminas. They imagine what they ought to have been or what they ought to have become, and it becomes something that interferes with their life. But their life is almost over, but they have children. So they obsess with their children that they have to be this or they have to be that. Eden are very good at that. We have this incredible tiger mom mentality. We have to be matzliach. And what is the measure of hatzlacha? There has to be a measure of hatzlacha. The inner measures of hatzlacha are never proven. You never can show it to your friends. But my son the doctor, my son the lawyer, or whatever it is. There were three women that were sitting together, the story goes. And one of them says, you know, my son, he's a mover and shaker in the construction industry. He's mamish. He's building these tremendous skyscrapers. Everybody is in awe of him. And the one on the left was saying, you know, my son, he's a Wall Street magnate. He's mamish, a gvir agir, and he can determine the destinies of companies. The lady in the middle, she said, my son, he's a mover and shaker in the transportation industry. and they were very impressed. One of her friends, of this last lady, caught a bit of the conversation, and she asks her in private, "Your son's a bus driver." So she says, "Well, he's a mover." So she asks him, "Well, what about the shaker?" He says, "Sometimes he hits a pothole." That kind of evaluation has nothing to do with the Chayvus HaVavos. It has nothing to do with the Urchas Tzadikim. It has nothing to do with Mesilas Yesharim. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It has nothing to do with Bavli, Yerushalmi, Mechilta, Sifri, Sifra. Because the true measure of a Jew is how much he's doing Mel Hashem. The true measure of a Jew is how much he is besimcha because he's doing Mel Hashem. And when the Rambam analyzes Purim and he says that you have to be besimcha because it's Yemei Mishneh besimcha, he says, Ein Shem Simcha Gedolah V'Fa'ara El L'Sameach Leiv Anim Lolim Amonis and Yisaymin. Because the one who is Mesameach them is Doimel L'Shvina Shenem El Ahachyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life, preserves the life of those who are miserable, those who are tzibrach. So we begin to have a little bit of an understanding of what that first Ramah is all about. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samit. I have to tell you something. It's the time that we lay in about the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that we should make a Mishkan. There was never a Nedivos Halev in the history of Klal Yisrael like there was at that moment. I should qualify that. There was one more instance. But the Nedivos Halev of the Mishkan was so great, as everyone knows, that the Nesiim were caught off guard. Because as it always is in every shul, the Kvirim hold back and they say, "Rabbi, we'll help you. We'll take care of you. Let the people give what they give, and of course there's going to be a shortfall, but we'll fill in the gap." But they'll come and save the day. The heroes, the knights in shining armor, the ones riding on horseback. But of course by the Mishkan, it failed. You know why it failed? Because they had to actually tell the people to stop giving. And the Nesiim were left holding an empty bag. They almost didn't make it. That kind of Nedivos Halev, where did it come from? I think the answer is very simple. When a person realizes that he could have been completely wiped out, when a person realizes that Klal Yisrael could have lost the Ribbono Shel forever because of the Chet HaEgel, when a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking not just to forgive, but to dwell amongst them just the same, Vasali Mikdash Vishachati Vesoichim, just like he promised in Oz Yoshir, to Vieimo Vesitaim of Har Nachaloscha, and even more, right now, before they come to Eretz Israel, before the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be a Shechina now. What a relief. What a simcha. They've given a reprieve. They've given a second chance. It's a new lease on life. And it's so glorious. So of course, we will be besimcha. And of course, there'll be this tremendous Nedivos Halev. But there was one other time in history that they had the same Nedivos Halev. I don't know why, but in our tefillos, we stop in Vayivarech David just short of that punchline. You know, there's a minhag to give tzedakah by Vayivarech David, correct? Pasuk tells us, and if we didn't have Divrei Hayomim, we wouldn't know, because from Shmuel you don't see it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David HaMelech, everybody knows that you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever the reason is, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash? Your son Shlomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him very great promises and very great brachas, but the ma'aseh, the bottom line is David HaMelech is not building the Beis HaMikdash. And we imagine that the story is over right then and there. But what we don't know, and what Divrei Hayomim teaches us, is that David HaMelech went about collecting all the funds for the building that Shlomo HaMelech would actually build. Every penny. Hazav, lazav, akesef, lakesef, all the jewels, all the silver, all the diamonds, whatever was necessary. Everything came from David HaMelech and Klal Yisrael. And when David HaMelech describes Klal Yisrael and their generosity, he says the following. One pasuk. V'yadati Elokai. I know Hashem. I know my God. Ki ata bochein levav u'meisharim tirtzeh. You examine people's hearts and you want the truth. You want integrity. You want honesty. You want sincerity. Meisharim tirtzeh. Ani b'yoshel levavi hisnadavti kol eila. I can speak for myself. And I know that with absolute fidelity, with total faithfulness, with total sincerity, with impeccable honesty, what was in my heart, I gave everything. It's not after you. Va'ato, and now, Amcho hanimtzu upo, the people that surround me, my people, your nation, ro'isi b'simcha li'isnadev loch. How do I know their sincerity? I can't peer into their hearts. So how do I know? You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who want Meishorim, who's Bochein Libos, you can check their hearts, but I already know the answer. How do I know that the sincerity was absolute? How do I know that there was total Nedivus HaLev? The answer is, B'simcha. I see the simcha, and the simcha reveals the total nedivus halev. And I would like to suggest that the opposite is also true. The flip side is true. That if you have total nedivus halev, then you have to have simcha. Simcha Yiddishkeit is based on two pillars. The first pillar is the least amount of preoccupation with myself and my own success. And the greatest preoccupation with the other. The other. The ye that's opposite me. The stranger that walks in and I run to give him my seed in shul because there are no seeds left. The poor person who walks in and you know that he came to America from Eretz Yisrael, and you know that he didn't come because he wanted to get a trip on El Al. You know that he's here and he's left his family behind, and his wife is miserable and his children are crying, where is Tati? You know that you left behind people who are miserable and suffering because they're poor, otherwise you wouldn't be here. And they need you all the more because of it. Because you're the one who shores up, who gives hope, who gives encouragement, but you have to be here to collect money. And then you come, and you're desperate, and you find a friend that you knew 30 years ago. You sat together on the same bench in the Beis Medrash. And he says, come, I'll take you around. We'll go to different houses. You don't have a mouth. You don't even speak English. I speak English. I'm a strong person. I'm a successful person. I'm going to help you. And they knock on the door, they ring the bell. It takes a little while, but the lady of the house comes down. And then he gives his pitch. This fellow, he has hundreds and hundreds of talmidim, but they have no money, they have no support. His family, he's given away everything that he has. He's borrowed tremendous sums. He's desperate. He has to make a chasana. Whatever the argument is, whatever the point is, whatever the plea is, whatever the request is. And she says, just a moment. And she goes back, and a few minutes later she comes, and she's holding two things, one in each hand. In one hand a dollar, and in the other hand a bottle of water. You must be thirsty. A dollar. It's a fancy house. Must have 20 bathrooms. There's 3 people living there. Maybe the Damakav's chus, they have some stomach trouble. I don't. Unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you something. Never mind that they're Rishayim. Never mind that. They aren't their Rishayim. They will never be B'Simcha. Never, ever be B'Simcha. They can't possibly be B'Simcha. Because you cannot be B'Simcha if you have no concern for the other. It's a tautology. It's a fundamental fact of of the existence of the material of the world. It's the same as the quarks and the leptons in nuclear physics. It's simply not shayach that a person should be besimcha. Either go around with a smile on their face and a laugh, but inside there's emptiness. Inside there's no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Inside there's not only no shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid, but there's no midosef shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'u chanun afato chanun. How can you let this person go? What should you be giving to him? The Rambam says, Dei Machsoro. You know what Dei Machsoro is? The person needs a $50,000. You have $100 million. You wouldn't even know that the money is missing. You should give him the $50,000. And what about the next guy and the next guy and the next guy? What, are you going to go bankrupt? But the Torah says, nobody's thinking, first of all, for sure, about the Schar in Olam Haba. Nobody's thinking, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher either. You know what they're thinking? They're thinking petty little thoughts. I can't give away. It's mine. How is a person going to be besimcha? How is a person possibly going to be besimcha if he's that small? I'd like to finish with something. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit is going to, for sure, allow people to fail many times. And during those times, they'll feel very distressed and very upset. And they will not be besimcha. But if a person trains himself and feels that he's doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work, that he's doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda, that he is in the presence of Melech Malchei Amlochim, then he will be the Simcha Atzuma. Because he's connected to the infinite. And when you're connected to the infinite, you have escaped the force of gravity. There's gravity and there's light. Gravity pulls in. If it pulls hard enough, you'll have a black hole. And then there's light, and light escapes. And the question is, are we belonging to the Choshech or are we belonging to the Or? That's the question. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. L'chol Beis Yisrael Or B'Moshe Boisam. And there's Choshech around in the entire world, and we want to embrace that Choshech. The stupidity of the world, and the limitations of the world, and the narrowness of the world, and the self-absorption and preoccupation of the world. It's not enough to have a camera. You have to have a selfie. And the selfie, you have to have a special stick so that the camera sticks out, so that you're able to have the perspective of who you are. And you know what that picture says? This picture says you're nothing. Because instead of taking a picture of yourself, you should go ahead and help the poor person that's next to you. And care about somebody that needs caring. And live a life that's not so totally obsessed with the material. Another house, another car, another apartment, a plane, another plane, a yacht, a helicopter on the yacht. What? And in the end, it's over. And it's the same grave. You can build as many mausoleums as you want. You're going to have the same grave. And it's over. And you cannot take it with you. No one is ever able to take it with them. And the children fight over the Yerusha and hate each other. And husbands and wives quarrel with bitter divorces. And she demands and demands and demands and demands. What? Because there's no Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid. It is actually the source of Simcha. The person has to ask himself the question. You know, the Chafetz Chaim brings a marshal from the Vilna Gaon that I quote Yomam V'Layla. I quote it all the time. A marshal from the Vilna Gaon. How many mashalim did the Vilna Gaon ever give? I don't know. Two, three? There's a marshal from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon wants to know the pshat of the pasuk Sasa Nochi Alim Rasecha Kamozik Shalom Rav. What does it mean? I rejoice, Sasa Nochi. And why the lashon of Sas? And the Vilna Gaon has a marshal. He says, Sason is the language of a simcha that in the end leaves you a little bit dejected and upset and sad. Interesting, a simcha that leaves you sad in the end. What kind of simcha is that? And he gives a marshal. He says, there was a king who was being attacked on all sides, and he was about to lose his kingdom. There was one general who had to be taken out of retirement to win the war, because he was the only one that was capable enough to do that. And he needed an incentive, so the king said to him, if you do this for me, one day I give you, right after you win, and all the enemy had gone from town to town, from village to village, they had so much booty, so much spoils of war, so much sholo, that it was unbelievable. Millions and millions of dollars worth. he would have become the richest person in the kingdom. The general, who had a big appetite for these kind of things, he said, I'm asking. And he won the war. And he takes all of his kalim, and he goes into the field. And of course, the field is empty of people, because he has conquered the enemy, and they've all run away. And now he goes from tent to tent, and collects, and collects, and collects. This basket is full, this package is full, this bag is full, this suitcase is full. And he's so euphoric. He's so mole simcha. He's rich and richer and richer. And there's nobody to get in his way, because the king said, even I won't go there that day. And you have min ha-boker ad ha-erev. And then he looks up and he sees that the sun is tilting to the west. And before you know, it's almost dark. The day is about to come to an end. And then he looks out on the field and he sees that there's so much more that he'll never get to than the spoils that he was successful in taking home. And he starts getting a certain sadness. The euphoria gets muted, and suddenly he feels a little lump in his throat. Oy, I could have, if I only had a few more days. What is the nimshal? What is the Vilna Gaon's nimshal? He says, and look who's talking, the Vilna Gaon, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula. L'cha'ira, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. But Torah has depth and depth and depth. And there's only so many years in a person's life. And the Vilna Gaon is saying that when we look at the Torah, Sasa nochi alim rasecha, I rejoice, but there's a simcha sheyesh achareha tuga, there's a little measure of sadness at the end, because I can't encompass it. I can't contain it. I can't get to the bottom of it. I can't embrace it in its entirety. And when I look forward, I see that there's miles and miles and miles of Torah, and I have only so little time left. And we ask ourselves the question, so what's so great about Torah? If it's going to leave you with that little time in your mouth at the end, why should I learn? And you know what the answer is? The answer is the Jew's given a choice. He can live a finite life. He can live a life of a bus of a dumb. He can live the life of a behema. Sophisticated behema, but a behema just the same. And then he won't have any problem. He's born, he dies. He knows in advance he has only so many years, and this is what he has to live. And he's going to enjoy, and he's going to have a good time, and he's going to accomplish and succeed. And this is it. In other words, he's offered the choice of being finite. And you'll never ever touch the infinite. Never ever. Or he's given a chance. I give you a Torah. I command you a Torah. I'm not giving you the choice, I'm telling you. But what I'm telling you is that you can touch the infinite. You can touch the infinite. What do you want? You want a life of a behema, more or less? Or do you want to live? You want to touch the infinite. There are two other examples where the Lashon of Sason is Davka used. Fascinating. One of them, marriage. Under the chuppah, the husband and wife that just became husband and wife, Chosn and Kala, they promise each other the world. Is it not so? Don't they say that we'll be the best to each other that we could possibly be? That we will care about each other, Yom and Valayla? Don't they say that the love bond that we have now with one another is just going to grow and grow and grow? Is it always like that? Or does life somehow take its toll? You ask yourself, would it be better if you were alone? No dream that's worth dreaming is ever realized in full. No expectation of a bus of a dump is not fraught with the danger of hate and failure. But not to dream, not to reach out, that's death. There's no real reason to live. That's just counting chromosomes. That's just counting the ticks on a clock. That's not life. Life is reaching out for that infinite. You get married, and you're full of dreams and hopes and aspirations. Hi chaveroscha ve'eshes brisecha. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yosis alayich alaykoyich kibsayis chosan al-kala, sason. Asher bara sason v'simcha chosan al-kala. And there's one other time, Bris Mila. Sosom. David HaMelech is going into the Merchatz. Sorry, he doesn't have anything to show. There are no mitzvahs, and reminds himself of what? Of the Bris Milah. Sasanochi alim rasecha kemotzei shalom rav, says the Gemara in Menachos. He reminds himself of the Bris Milah. The Bris Milah is not like that. You have a child. All those dreams. And we say it. It's part and parcel of the Bris. Kishem shenichnas lebris, kein yikones lesoira lechupo lemasin toivim. The vision, the aspirations of this tabula rasa, this little child that could be anything. And I have chaloimis, I have she'ifais, I want him to be the ultimate Eved Hashem. I don't want him to be bogged down with kina type of kovod, matzina, sodom, and olam. Will he be perfect? Will she be perfect? It doesn't matter, it's a bris mila, but it applies to all children. Are they going to be perfect? Are they going to live up to every expectation, not only of the parent, but of the Zaydis and Babas, of Klal Yisrael behind them, of the future of Klal Yisrael, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the Malachi HaShoreis, of Elio HaNavi who's present? Are they going to live up to that? Not completely. Never completely. Is the agenda worthwhile? It's the only agenda that's worthwhile. And that's really the point of it all. The two pillars, one of them is that you have to start caring about other people, but in a, such a real way that it becomes maybe the essence of your life and your life's purpose. And the other pillar is that the closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you're next to the infinite. And next to the infinite is the source of the greatest simcha of all. Because I deny my mortality, I deny my corporeality, I am not just basar v'dam, gidin v'atzamos. I am something very, very great. And v'haraya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to touch the infinite. We should be zeicha that we are mekayim the tmidim kesidram. The shivisi Hashem l'negdi somid and the toiv leiv mishte tamid. And of course, as the end and any drasha, we should be zeicha to the ultimate simcha, the bi'as goyel tzedek b'meheir of yomeinu amen.